message number 3 on the Epistle to the Galatians. Beloved radio friends, in the precious name of our wonderful Savior, we greet you heartily and would enjoy with you the study and the meditation upon the Word of God from our continued discussion of the Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. We will today read particularly from verses 11 through verse 13. And hear the beloved Apostle Paul saying, as he writes to the Galatians long ago, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of this section of His precious Word, and may we by the Spirit of God be taught, illuminated, enlightened, and established in what Paul reveals in regard to the genuineness, the authenticity of the gospel which he faithfully preached. Now we have noted in verse 11 in the closing part of our preceding message, as well as in the opening of verse 12, the gospel which Paul preached never originated from the minds, in the hearts, or even through the institutions of mankind. Now we find in verse 12 where Paul did find the gospel and from whom he received it. For let me read verse 12. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let me repeat a statement that we made at the close of our preceding message, so that we may get the significance what is before us. When Paul stated, "I neither received it of man, neither was I taught the gospel that I preached," do we realize Paul was never converted through the preaching of the gospel under any man? Paul's remarkable conversion is recorded in the 9th chapter of the book of the Acts. And he had a personal meeting with the risen and glorified Savior who appeared unto him on the Damascus Road. You may read the account of it in Acts chapter 9. You will note the unusual manner in which the beloved Apostle Paul was brought to Christ. Whether he had heard any preaching at all of the gospel by the early saints, I do not know. But as far as the day of his conversion, the time of his conversion, the manner of his conversion, he had a personal appearance of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who brought him to himself. That is why he declares at the end of verse 12, "I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that is why he said in verse 11, "I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Paul says, "I received the message from the Lord himself. My revelation of what I was to preach came directly from God." Now, beloved, let us state a fact. Let us emphasize this fact. This is certainly indicating that the origin of Paul's message was not human, but it was of God. Now, let us have no misunderstanding about the fact, for we want to make it very clear, and we'll make this qualifying statement. For this does not indicate that he preached a different message than Peter, than John, than James, and any of the other apostles and disciples. Do not let anyone persuade you of such a thing. Our first two chapters of Galatians will disprove any such theory. For even Peter's ministry, though it was chiefly to the circumcision, to the Jewish people particularly, and Paul's ministry of the gospel was to the Gentiles, their message was the same in principle and in truth. It was salvation by grace alone. And they preached the same message to both classes of people, both Jews and Gentiles. Now, let me repeat this with emphasis. Peter did not preach a different gospel. Neither did Paul preach a different gospel from Peter. They had the same message, and it was concerning Christ. So the revelation of Paul's message, he said, I got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the unique facts of Paul's ministry. Paul had direct revelations from God. He had the gospel revealed to him. May I say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he declares that even the Lord's Supper was directly revealed to him from the Lord himself. We also can find that even the truth about the church in Ephesians chapter 3 was a direct revelation from God to the beloved Apostle Paul. You have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that the manner in which the Lord will obtain and take his saints from the earth, whether from the graves or whether they are living when he comes for them, that is described by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, and this was a revelation from the Lord himself. May I quote those four facts again? He had, first, we must say, a direct revelation from the Lord concerning the gospel he preached. He had a direct revelation from the Lord concerning the Lord's Supper. He had a direct revelation from the Lord concerning the truth of the church. He had a direct revelation from the Lord concerning the rapture of the saints when the Lord takes the church out of this scene. We must recognize, and we must confess, Paul had direct revelations from the Lord regarding the things which he taught. He was not dependent upon the preaching and the teaching of the apostles. Though we must say again, there was no conflict between the apostles' teaching and the apostles' preaching as the others preached in regard to the truth of God. Though Paul, without question of doubt, had tremendous revelations, perhaps beyond the others. Now we come to verse 13 as we go to the end of the chapter. Here is where we find more detailed personal experiences regarding the dealing of God, whereby God entrusted unto him the message of the gospel which he preached. Note first of all in verses 13 and 14 from which we have already read that Paul speaks of God's dealings with him, and particularly in these two verses, the past history of Paul before he met Christ. For in verse 13 he said, you know how I lived in past times in the Jews' religion, how that I beyond measure persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, and I was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now will you please note something very carefully? Paul affiliated himself in his unsaved, unconverted, unregenerate days with what was a divinely ordained religion, the Jews' religion. May I say this was the only true religion in all the history of the human race that had very definitely been instituted by God. You can find lots of religions, my friend, even in the Old Testament days of history. But you will only find one divinely ordained religion. It was the Jews' religion. And God ordained that religion under the law of Moses, as we well know. And Paul says, that was where I belonged before I was saved. I was wrapped up in the Jews' religion. And then further he goes on to declare, I hated, I despised, I destroyed, I made havoc of Christianity and the Christians as much as I could. He was vehemently antagonistic to the church of God. I persecuted the church of God and I wasted and tried to destroy it. For the new Christian testimony to Paul as a devout Jew was hated. And he did his utmost to destroy it and wipe it out, even to the putting to death of many Christians and taking many of them into prison, as we well know. My beloved, let us recognize, Paul did this all in the name of religion. And he did it in the name of a religion that God had once ordained. Because Paul did not believe that God was through with Judaism. and that Christ and Christianity had now come into view. And he excessively demonstrated his devotion to the traditional religion to which he belonged. When you read the 14th verse, he profited in the Jews' religion above many of his equal Jews that were in his own nation. I tell you for one thing, you perhaps could not have found, and neither did the Pharisees find in those days of the early church, a man who was more devoted to the Jewish traditional religion of his ancestors than did Paul. And in his religious fervor, in his religious accomplishments, in all of his studies as a follower of the law of Moses, he was sometimes head and shoulders above all of his companions. He was religiously like the Old Testament saint, or the Old Testament king, rather, King Saul. Do you remember King Saul in the Old Testament? He physically stood head and shoulders above all his companions in the days of Israel. Now, Saul in the New Testament was not a physical giant, as Saul in the Old Testament. He was a small man. But Saul in the New Testament was a religious giant, though he was physically small in stature. And well may we recognize that you must admit that Paul was a religious man, and he was affiliated with a religion that was divinely ordained of God, the religion of the Jews. But he was not only affiliated with it, he not only stood, as it were, intellectually in it above all of many others of his nation, but he says, I was exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my ancestors. Now, I don't know what your religion is, my friend, but I want you to learn something right this moment from what we have told you and what Paul has written. Religion cannot save you. And Paul had to give up his whole religion when he came to Christ. Now, I'd like to ask the question, do you have religion or do you have Christ? There's a great deal of difference between the two. You must have Christ, not religion. Religion can take you to hell. But Christ is the only one who can save you. May we ask, my friend, which do you have? Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus to speak to some hearts and consciences to thy glory and their blessing and salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.